It's Helping Hand, weekly feature statewide on HPR One stations, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. On Fridays, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities, others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you so much for listening. This week, we are thrilled to have a returning guest that does something rather unique in the community, really a one-of-a-kind sort of guest, and it's the Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii nonprofit program. According to their website, Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii specializing in riding instruction for special needs individuals, but also providing therapeutic riding to individuals of any ability, as being around animals is often a very therapeutic experience, especially something like a horse. They've got a goal to improve the minds and bodies of riders, and they use the horses as partners in that, and they do some remarkable outreach, too. They, Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii, have miniature horses, and they visit individuals who cannot visit their program due to physical or financial reasons, and they have a way to support them coming up. It's coming up tomorrow. Horse Show and Country Fair fundraiser rescheduled and now happening tomorrow, September 15th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and lots of fun at that and lots of ways to support them. We're going to learn about the organization and the event with their executive director of Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii, Dana Venant. Hey, Dana, thanks for coming back. Great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. So before we hear about the event, because I bet anytime we talk about animals, it usually sparks people's interest, and sometimes folks have not heard of things, understandably. You have a few programs. There's riding sessions, equine outreach. There's a Kona program, Waimea program, camps. Taking a step back, as you look at it from that kind of perspective, describe the programs, how it works, and just take some time to explain how it relates also to folks with disabilities.
Sure. Well, I think our overall focus is providing, you know, different opportunities for people to be around horses. So, like you said, we have a variety of different things that we do. The main thing is the riding sessions. And in that, we basically teach horseback riding, but there's some benefits of being around horses that we sort of capitalize on, and we're trained to do that. The first being, you know, the emotional support. Horses are huge, and they're lovely, and when you sit on them, you're controlling a 1,000-pound animal. So that really can provide a lot of self-confidence in people or kids who don't have as much. There's also physical aspect. You sit on a horse, the horse actually moves your body through a normal walking gait. So someone who's never walked before, when they're sitting on a horse, the horse actually moves them as though they're walking themselves.
Like a sense of rhythm.
Sense of rhythm and actual physical motions the body goes through are the same as if they were on the ground. Just the horizontal position of the horse provides that for them. My mom's a physical therapist. She could tell you way more about it, but it's really cool. So it can improve gait in people who have gait issues, or it can provide the sensation of walking to someone who's never walked.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It's a unique way they move. It's not like getting into a car.
No.
They have a whole different vibration of what it does. And because you guys are, for anyone listening, they've probably figured out that you're based here in the Honolulu area, but they may have heard me mention the Kona program, Waimea program. Shine a little light on that, too, so we can include more folks who are listening.
Well, I just mentioned my mom, a physical therapist. She runs the Kona program. She's been doing it for several years. It's a much smaller program. But she does a really good job. And since she is a physical therapist, she's actually able to harness the motion of the horse and really do amazing things for the kids she works with. The Waimea program is run by a great lady named Michelle. And I think she's also operating about one day a week, much smaller program. But she's able to provide with her own horses a really beautiful facility and some great work in Waimea.
Is it for all ages? What's the age range that's appropriate for this?
Pretty much all ages. We start at age 4. And obviously there can be some contraindications, people who have spinal issues, hip issues. We don't want to do more damage. So those are the only people who are really excluded from riding.
So that's a good point. So in terms of who it's not appropriate for, one more time.
People with hip or spinal issues, anyone who might be damaged by sitting on a horse from the motion. And for that, we have the equine outreach program.
And we'll talk about the equine outreach in a moment, but if anyone has a concern, they could check with their physician. If they have a medical condition that they would wonder if it wasn't appropriate, they could both check with you guys and whoever their doctor
Absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely. We do require a medical clearance if people have anything in that range.
Right, which is smart, because you don't want to make anything worse, like you said. And then costs for participants.
We charge $35 for a half hour or $50 for an hour. Since we're a nonprofit, we're able to actually kind of charge below our cost for that.
And is that the same for anyone with or without a disability?
Same for anyone. We do not charge for the equine outreach program. That's a community.
And explain the equine outreach program. Is this where the little horses go?
This is where the little horses jump in the little van and we go to schools and hospitals. Lots of senior centers.
How many horses are in there?
We have four altogether. Two are currently trained for the outreach. One's still a baby and one's a little stallion who is going to make more babies, hopefully.
And they, it's just the breed, the species, forgive me, I don't know much about it. And we've talked about it before, but I can't remember all the details. So a miniature horse is its own little species or what is that?
It's a breed. They're really tiny. They're like 200 pounds. So they can really go a lot of places.
And that's natural.
They've been bred that way through centuries. From what I understand, they used to use them in the mines in England because they're teeny tiny and they can pull little carts around.
Wow. So it goes back a long time,
yeah.
These little horses, because that's not something you see all the time.
They're getting more common. They're actually approved as service animals. So I forget which airline says now you can take them on a plane, though I don't know how you possibly do
that. And they average about how many pounds?
Ours are about 200 pounds, although they can vary.
And that's, it's radio, but with your hand, how tall is that off of the ground?
If I'm standing up, I can rest my hand on their back at the end of my arm. So there's Great Danes that are bigger than them.
So just a few feet tall kind
yeah.
of thing? It's a fascinating little creature, huh? And you can imagine, because people bring animals to hospitals and in court sometimes if you have a child and they have to do something really difficult, they'll have a creature. I mean, there's just so many ways animals can make things easier. So you can imagine. So you take these again. What are the kind of places that they go into?
We've gone to schools. I like to go to public schools. A lot of like the, the kind of urban places where kids don't get to be around horses much. We go to Shriners quite a bit. That's a great place to go visit with the horses. Lots of senior centers. We've actually gone inside, walked around.
Because they're well-behaved and they're tiny and you can basically, like you were saying, it's not much different than bringing a dog into the building.
No, not much. You do have to watch and make sure they don't poop anywhere, but they're actually pretty good about that.
Are they trained to, like a dog, in that way, or how does that work?
They just seem to sort of have a sense of not, knowing not to do it inside. So we haven't really had to train them for that, although we do a lot of handling with them so that they're, really well socialized.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that's a whole angle I hadn't even thought of. Cause it's amazing how you can get a dog, or most people can get their dog completely like in sync with how when they need to go to the restroom and to alert their owner and stuff. So do they alert you sort of like, hey, I need to go, or do you have to just be super tuned into the animal? Like, I know he or she hasn't gone to the bathroom in the X number of hours, now's a good time kind of.
Yeah, you got to watch them. There's some physical signs that they do. Unfortunately, well, I guess fortunately, depends on how you look at it. They tend to go in the van,
okay.
Which makes it a little
harder for you, but better for the for the guests.
The van doesn't smell great. But
fascinating,
the van is
but they're not like a dog where you can train them precisely.
You probably could.
Okay, over time.
Yeah, I wish I had the time. But
sure. No, that's interesting. And for nonprofits or people who run programs with folks who have disabilities or folks who are really facing deep challenges, maybe in very complicated wheelchairs or bedridden, cannot get around, and maybe they're hearing this. Are you approachable to them calling and saying, hey, what's involved with an equine outreach?
Absolutely. And I'm happy to say we, I guess we'll talk about this maybe in a little bit. We had a flood in April and we lost our van in the flood. It got drowned. We just in the last couple of weeks have been donated a new van by
right.
a family involved. And so we're just about ready to get back on the road here. So the timing is perfect to come talk to you about it because we're real excited about getting out there again. So in a little bit, we'll be ready to go. People are welcome to call and we can talk about us coming by for a visit.
That's fantastic. Well, now is a good time to do that because you got this event and that's why we have you on because the event is a fundraiser. And in addition to the event tomorrow, which we're about to hear about, how else do you guys get your funding?
Again, we charge a little bit for our lessons. We do a couple different fundraisers a year. I think you had me on last time to talk about our Christmas fundraiser.
Correct.
And we do a bit of grant writing when we have projects and then, donations.
And so, getting to what you were talking about. So it was just a few months ago, Dana had reached out and told me about the a lot of people in Waimanalo, also on, obviously on the Garden Isle, affected by flooding. People just again affected on Kauai by the flooding. But you guys were hit pretty hard from that. So talk about, you mentioned one thing you lost was your vehicle, but going forward from that, other things that you're recovering from that, that folks who are listening may be able to help you out with.
Sure. Well, I mean, the good news, first and foremost, is we were able to save all of our animals, which, you know, in Waimanalo, a lot of animals actually were washed out to sea in the flood, which is pretty horrible. So we happened to be close by. We were able to get our animals out. It was a true flash flood. We had no warning that it was coming, and it came so fast. So our biggest loss was our vehicles all got damaged. The van was a loss. We're able to repair a lot of them, but, you know, there's obviously cost involved in, sure, in getting that done quite a bit. We lost a lot of, we had a lot of like logo t-shirts and things like that that were lost in the flood. My office had 2 feet of water in it, so still looking to replace some drawers and a desk and things like that. So
drawers, a desk, the vehicle, any other ways in particular you want to put out that there's something in particular if anyone wanted to just to grab hold of one of your needs and try to help with it? Are there other specific needs that were lost in the flooding?
Not that we haven't sort of dealt with at this point.
Right.
The biggest thing was just, it was kind of a financial blow. And then we had, our fundraiser was scheduled actually for a few weeks after that. And we had to cancel that because the field really couldn't sustain the event.
So this is really a great opportunity to help with that, because what you're saying is it's taken this long to get the fundraiser up and happening again.
Yep. Yeah.
And so the Horse Show and Country Fair fundraiser, being radio, try to paint a picture and be as visual as you can of what is exactly going to be happening. Again, this is tomorrow from 9 to 2.
So the event is held at our facility, which is a pretty pleasant place to be in Waimanalo. And the main focus of it is to provide sort of a showcase for our riders to do a little mounted event. So it's a big deal for them. A lot of them, you know, aren't in a position to play soccer or, you know, do piano recitals or anything. So it's their chance to kind of show off for a crowd and for their parents. Other things that are happening are, we have a kids game booth. We'll be selling our newly purchased logo t-shirts. We're going to have a bounce house. We're going to have pony rides. We're going to have a couple of little food booths, shave ice, things like that.
And do people pay to get in? Is that how?
It's free to attend.
And then you pay for those things when you're there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do the bounce house is free, and our petting zoo will be open with our little happy animals for people to.
What animals?
We have a very elderly pig, and we have a number of goats. And then, of course, our mini horse team will be there to greet people.
People can pet the horses.
People can pet the horses. Don't feed the horses, but you can pet the horses.
Right. And then you have regular, how many of the full-size horses?
We have 10 riding horses.
Wow.
We did have one little retired pony we recently lost a couple of weeks ago in the middle of the hurricane. But she kind of passed away from natural causes, so down one.
People can, in addition to coming to this event and supporting it, telling other people about it who are into horses, people can volunteer with you guys?
Absolutely. Our place is run on the power of volunteers for the most part. We have 1.5 staff people. Everything else is done by people who want to help out. And it's a really unique opportunity to be around horses. Horses are very expensive, especially in Hawaii. And one of our missions is to make sure that anyone who wants to be around horses has that opportunity. So we very much welcome people to come help out. We encourage them to find the area in which they feel best suits them.
What are some of the areas you could use help? Like thinking about, you know, just try to describe to folks if someone's thinking, I'd like to do it, but what exactly? Is it shoveling manure? Is it working like helping repair things in the stable? What is it exactly?
Basically, a pretty wide variety. Our biggest need right now is actually for people who are interested in becoming riding instructors. We've kind of short-staffed with that. We have a lot of riders and, you know, only limited amount of instructors. So we're willing to train for that. If it's not a horse person, then we're happy to teach people how to assist us with our riding sessions. So that'd be bringing horses back and forth into the barn, helping the kids prepare them for lessons, leading or doing something called sidewalking, where you walk alongside and you assist the rider. regular barn maintenance things. We have people who really enjoy the horses, not so much the kids. And so they'll have an opportunity to help care for the horses, not have to interact with, you know, with our riders quite as much.
Is it all children or do adults?
We do adults as well. I would say a vast majority is kids, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's a lot of ways, is what you're saying. You painted it pretty clear. So there are a lot of different things you could do to help out. And it sort of sounded like you're also saying people who have a knack for fixing things, handyman kinds of stuff.
Handyman kind of stuff. Yard work. We got yard work for days. Keeps raining. Grass keeps growing.
How big of a place is this?
We operate on about an acre. It's kind of spread out, and we're kind of intermingled with the polo club out there is gracious enough to share with us. So,
and what are other things while you have the floor here that we can do to support you guys? I know another thing, someone stole from you guys. You guys were robbed at one point.
Yeah, you know, if the flood and the canceled fundraiser weren't enough blows, we also got broken into. And unfortunately, I was dumb enough to leave a few weeks of our income in our office. And so that was taken. So some of the checks we've been able to get replaced, but we lost quite a bit of cash as well. So
what are other things? And you think about taking, about like removing, thinking not just about the facility, but the broader range of maybe people throughout the state and, whether it's your board, whether it's helping you to figure out potential grants you didn't know were there that somebody who might have a knack for, just other things that you, that aren't as hands-on perhaps with the horses, that people listening may be able to help you with, that you just would like, you know, sometimes I'm sure they come to your mind when you're there in your office, but this is a great platform to reach them.
Absolutely. You know, we always could use a hand with the bookkeeping. I'm a pretty good barn chick, but I'm not that great with accounting. So we do have a volunteer who does that, but he's pretty grossly overworked. So anyone who might be familiar with QuickBooks, that type of thing, If anyone knows of funding opportunities that I might not be aware of, those types of things are super helpful to me. I don't get out of the barn that much sometimes, so there might be things out there that I don't know about.
And on the vehicle end, you're covered, or if someone had a vehicle that would be appropriate to help, that you're still looking for that? Or?
Since we got a new van, we're okay. All the other vehicles we've managed to repair. If there's a handy mechanic out there, there's always maintenance on them.
That's another thing. That's a great one, actually, right? Because the vehicle has to be maintained. So if anyone would like to help maintain your vehicle, that's another volunteer opportunity.
Absolutely.
That you'd be interested in. They have a great website, and you can take a look at some of these magical animals that they have. THHWaimanalo.org is the website. You can give them a call, too, if that's your preferred method of communication, 342-9036. You can find an email contact form at their website or email dana@thhwaimanalo.org. You can get all the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests that we've had at hawaiipublicradio.org. The event is tomorrow, and it's a rescheduled horse show and country fair fundraiser, and 9 to 2 with Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii at their location in Waimanalo. We've been thrilled to have Executive Director Dana Venon back with us, outlining the many ways that people can support what you guys are up to. Next time you're around one of those little horses, if they're tolerable to it, please give one a hug for me.
Will do.
And they sound really cool, and they look really special, too. And on behalf of all the folks with disabilities that you're helping out, and especially anyone who you can go visit who can't get around, and I can just imagine how much it would brighten their day to see one of those adorable creatures, or two of them, coming up and being so cuddly and available and effervescent with life. Thanks for doing what you're doing. It's an inspiring thing.
Thanks for having me, Dave.